It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. Another Saturday has arrived, and I always love talking about the outdoors. And for my definition, it's sort of an all-inclusive, and we talk about all the great hunting and fishing activities and all the sports, the recreational things, and there's also the resort side of the state, the great state of Wisconsin. And who better to talk to than Lynn Ketterhagen? She's general manager of Lake Lawn Resort in beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin. I was just out there recently for lunch at 1878 on the lake. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Steve. I am so excited to be here and talk about all the fun the resort has to offer everybody.
Yeah, it's such a great history. And I was telling one of your teammates there at Lake Lawn, I have been going to Lake Lawn Resort for about 30 years. I used to be a manager for a private company. We had our annual events out there. We did all the cool stuff on the grounds. We golfed, of course. Everybody knows the famous golf course. So I guess let's set the scene for people who haven't, maybe they've stepped away, haven't been to Lake Lawn Resort in the last few years. You know, what's going on out there? What does it look like? I was just out there recently. To me, it looks spectacular, but I'm biased. I have that history. So tell folks about Lake Lawn Resort.
Absolutely, Steve. And you're right. Not just you, everybody that visits us usually becomes tried and true guests of the resort. And one of the heartwarming things is when you're walking the halls here and coming across people saying, oh my goodness, my grandparents got married here, my friends got married here, all these different things, not just weddings, but family reunions, everything. So a lot of people come and join us all the time, and it's because we have such a unique and wonderful setup. We've got 250 acres of beautiful land right on the shore of Delavan Lake. We've got 2 miles of shoreline. So everything that you talked about, we've got guest rooms, suites, we rent homes, we have water sports activities in the summertime, our spa all year round, golf during the peak season. But when we get into winter, you probably know that Delavan Lake is a huge fishing lake. So ice fishing, ice skating we do out on the lake, cross-country skiing on property, on the golf course. So a lot to do for anybody, and no matter what you're looking for.
I was just talking to somebody about the resort. I was at a wedding, family wedding up in Wisconsin Rapids, and they go, oh, Lake Lawn Resort. Where is that exactly? I go, Delavan. It's really easy to find. It's right on I-43. I think it's the simple exit there. I think, Highway 50?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's so easy to find. And then it's literally just east of that exit. And one of the things that I wanted to highlight, you're one of our newest partners on WTMJ Outdoors, and I thank you for that partnership. You are one of the top resort destinations in the state. Why do you think that is?
I would have to, I think it's how our staff tries to make our guests just feel so important. It's that tried and true Midwest hospitality that we all hear about when we go outside of Wisconsin. And that's one of the most important things here to us at the resort, is just making sure that everybody feels like they're at their home away from home, and doing everything we can to make sure their stay is as comfortable as possible.
So we're airing this show today, and we're still a ways away from winter, although in Wisconsin, you never really know, Lynn. It can catch up to you. And I know that there's opportunities in and around the resort, Lake Lawn Resort, for things that are happening in the cold weather months, whether it's ice fishing, cross-country skiing. Let's highlight a few of those.
Absolutely. So as we're coming up into late fall and approaching that winter time, the holidays, of course, are coming to mind right away, of course. So we have all the big holiday buffets, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve. So anywhere you want to be, we've got everything here right for you. We also have a unique Breakfast with Santa experience, which we have two different weekends. One's Thanksgiving weekend and the other one's in mid-December, where it's a buffet. We've got Santa's workshop where kids can go do crafts and cookie decorating. Obviously a visit with Santa, but we also have live reindeer coming in.
Very cool.
So that way families can get their photos taken with the reindeer. So a lot to do. And we also bring tribute bands in during the off season. So that way there's stuff for everybody to do, whether you're a local here in the community or you're joining us from wherever and staying for the weekend. We've got a Are You Ready For It is what the band is. It's a Taylor experience.
Oh, there you go.
Our our big T Swift, our Swifties out there. Anyway, so we've got that coming up on November 22nd, and then we also have Super Tramp Tribute Band the following weekend.
One of my favorites. I want to give a couple chances to tell people how they can find out more. So where can they go to find out more about all the great events at Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan?
Absolutely. You check out our website, lakelawnresort.com. All those events that I was talking about are right on our events page and a couple quick links, and you are there and ready to buy tickets for anything you want.
And I've been at events large and small. I actually been at a wedding at Lake Lawn Resort. It was a while ago, but it is an opportunity to, one, enjoy the best. Their food is amazing. And I mentioned having lunch at 1878 on the lake, which is a spectacular redo of your restaurant. Compliments to everybody involved. But also to make that natural connection to the lake, to the grounds. It's really beautiful. I imagine right now, Lynn, it's got to look spectacular out there.
Oh my gosh, our grounds team has done a marvelous job. You pull in our front entrance and the mums are in like full peak colors. Our trees are starting to go. We have a ton of weddings, as you can imagine, in the fall. Mm-hmm. And it is such a unique place to be able to get married just feet from the shoreline.
So one of my golfing pals said, you got to ask him about what's happening in 2026. I understand a major redo on the golf course?
Yes, we have a few tricks up our sleeve that we are finalizing some details on. So stay tuned for more information on how we're going to be adjusting this golf course for everybody and offering a really unique experience for those in southeastern Wisconsin.
And having golfed there in the summer of this year, the views are spectacular. The course is amazing. And as a fan of nature, I do an outdoor show, obviously. The mature trees on your property, got to be some of the oldest trees in the area.
Oh, they are absolutely magnificent. I'm with you with an environmental science background. So tried and true love of Mother Nature, and we have everything to showcase right here at the resort.
So we got the Thanksgiving buffet. We got breakfast with Santa. We got Christmas events, New Year's Eve events, all the outdoor stuff, the ice fishing, the skiing. There's a close proximity to ski hills if you want to do downhill skiing. One more time, how do folks find out more about Lake Lawn Resort in beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin?
Sure, Steve. LakeLawnResort.com, and everything is right there, from booking rooms to corporate meetings to finding tickets for our events and buffets and fun things that we talked about.
Lynn Ketterhagen, she's general manager of Lake Lawn Resort. Thanks for being our newest partner here on WTMJ Outdoors, Lynn. I look forward to a future visit. You'll be on the show multiple times throughout the next year. I appreciate that partnership, and I certainly love Lake Lawn Resort. It's a great tribute to what we do so well in Wisconsin, which is resorts and all the outdoor activities. Thanks for being part of the show today.
Thank you, Steve. Had a great time with you.
All right, last word to come on WTMJ Outdoors, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. That's all next.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. As you know, those of us who are hunters in Wisconsin, the archery bow season, as they call it, also crossbow season, is underway in the state of Wisconsin and other places as well. Who better to talk to than an expert, the assistant deer and elk specialist for the Wisconsin DNR, Brooke Van Handel. Welcome to the show, Brooke.
Thank you.
So I guess, how about a status report? I know how the gun deer season works. We kind of know how it's going as it's going through the season. It's a longer season for the archery side of things, but do we have a sense from the DNR perspective on how things are going?
Yeah, we do receive weekly updates on our harvest reports. So the update that I have for you today is actually from October 14th. And looking at the data so far, the archery harvest is slightly lower than 2024. And, you know, this could be attributed to the warmer weather that we've been having. That could be a big factor in why that is. So it's not a surprise to us that the harvest is a bit lower than 2024. But we will receive updates each week on the harvest as we continue throughout the season.
As a deer and elk specialist, how much do you think weather plays into that? Is it the movement of the deer? It's just the fact that hunters may not want to go out when it's a little warmer than usual. So sometimes there's a bug factor to things where you don't want to get, you don't have to be swatting flies away from yourself while you're in your deer stand. What is it exactly?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, both probably. It's a lot to do with the deer movement. You know, in the warmer temperatures, they're not as active, you know, during the daylight hours. So hunters might choose not to hunt when the weather is warmer. I think a lot of hunters also, you know, they are waiting for those cooler temperatures and more deer movement. So you might not see as many people out just because they're holding off for a bit. So I think it can be both factors to why we're seeing that so far.
If you know, is there a sense that a certain part of the state is registering more deer in this season than others, or is it still too early to tell?
It's a bit early to tell. It looks like statewide, it is just a little bit lower in each zone. So it doesn't look like there is, you know, a certain area that's harvesting a lot more deer so far. But we will, you know, as the season continues, we will be able to tell a little bit more which zones are harvesting more deer than others.
I was having a deer hunting conversation at a family wedding over the weekend or last weekend, and we were talking about, you know, where deer are, what they're doing. And you know, I've seen a lot of deer activity in the last few weeks. But as somebody who studies deer and the population in the state of Wisconsin, we're in a pretty good place. I know that an area that I hunt, Waupaca County, has one of the highest populations. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing the trend towards more or higher deer populations in the state?
Yeah, so there should be a higher deer population within the state. You know, we've come off a few recent mild winters. So the deer population should be up, and we should see harvest rates reflecting this as well as we continue with the season.
And explain, if you can, the significance of the archery season. I know we all know that in the gun deer season, which starts the weekend, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, that roughly 600,000 hunters go into the woods in pursuit of white-tailed deer. What are the numbers like for the archery bow season?
Absolutely. Right now, we are looking at a little under 20,000 for harvest for archery and crossbow. So, you know, that's very significant in the management of our deer. And as we continue on, you know, we have seen that steady decline in gun hunters, but we are seeing an increase. And also, it's just a steady number of people interested in bow hunting or using a crossbow. So that is going to play a big effect into our deer management and, you know, just the population management of the deer in our state.
So somebody asked me this question as well. Actually, a listener asked this question about, other than the means of harvesting the deer, you know, bow, crossbow versus a gun or rifle, or a musket in some cases, the actual rules of the game, are they basically the same in the archery bow season as in the gun deer season?
Yeah, a lot of the regulations are the same. Apart from the youth hunt weekend, it's just camouflage, as you know, versus the 9-day season. You must wear the blaze orange. But as for regulations, it's very similar between the seasons.
What's the most surprising thing, since as long as you've been doing this, about the popularity of the deer hunt in Wisconsin, either the bow season or the gun deer season, in your perspective as someone who studies this?
Sure. In my perspective, it's just always interesting to see the traditions that people have within the deer hunting, whether that's bow hunting, as that continues to rise in popularity and interest, or the 9-day gun season. It's just really great to see it bring communities and families and friends together each year.
We're talking to Brooke Van Handel. She's an assistant deer and elk specialist for the Wisconsin DNR. Lots more to come, including how she got involved in the outdoors for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We'll continue the conversation. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Our guest on the program today, Brooke Van Handel. She's the assistant deer and elk specialist for the Wisconsin DNR, Department of Natural Resources. Brooke, I'm always interested in the personal story. We talked in the first segment about the archery bow crossbow season in Wisconsin and how well that's doing with 20,000 hunters in the woods. But how did you, Brooke, get involved with the outdoors in the Wisconsin DNR?
Yeah, I have loved the outdoors my whole life. My family are, you know, big outdoorsmen, big hunters. So I grew up hunting and fishing and, you know, loving anything outdoors. So As I, you know, continued on in life and was looking to the future of what I wanted to do, I decided that why not, you know, make my passion my career. So I went to the University of Stevens Point and studied wildlife ecology. And right after graduation, I started with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and have been with them since in various positions. And now I am the assistant deer and elk specialist for the state.
It's funny you mentioned UW Stevens Point. I'm connected to that by family. My family owned and operated both a car and a truck dealership in Stevens Point for many, many years, Scafidi Ford, right on the freeway there. But that connection to Stevens Point and the university is so strong in Wisconsin outdoors. Why are they so good at it?
It is, yeah. Stevens Point is a great school for natural resources. I know that they have, you know, different field classes and opportunities for students to get out there and get hands-on experience during their education, opposed to, you know, after when you start in the workforce. So it just places students, you know, ahead of the game. So I know myself and everyone else that I know that have gone to Stevens Point for the same things really value those opportunities that you get at that college.
One of the things I love to do as someone who used to mentor supervisors and managers in the private sector many years ago is to sort of give a pathway for young people, in this case, kids in Wisconsin, to find a way to do something they love. And you sort of expressed that with your love of the outdoors and how your family was so involved in it. If a kid out there is listening to the outdoors program today, young child, maybe 10, maybe 12 years old, maybe just starting to get into hunting or fishing as a sport or even to take fish to eat for their own dinner table, what do you think that the sort of that path is? Is it just getting out there and doing it? Is it just doing the nature hikes again, seeing what hunting and fishing is like? Is it making connection with an adult that can sort of, you know, lead the way or mentor groups? Is there a pathway that works for young people to get to a life spent outdoors, but also a job where they can do that every day and love their job?
Yeah. I think it's really getting involved in whatever they can get involved in. Whether that's their own personal experiences, getting outdoors with family and friends and, you know, learning those techniques of hunting and fishing or whatnot, and just increasing their interest within that and developing their skills. But it is also a great opportunity to build those connections with other professionals. And, you know, as you continue on in life and get older, those opportunities continue to increase. But there's really a lot of great resources for volunteering with the DNR or volunteering with other groups that, you know, are involved in our natural resources. So I would recommend starting there and volunteering for things, maybe just to get a feel for things and also to build those connections.
Before I let you go, we'll give you a chance to provide a website where people can go find out more information about all those opportunities. But on the personal side, when you're not doing the deer and elk specialist job, how do you spend your time outdoors?
Yeah, I love spending my time doing just about anything outdoors. since it is October, you know, I'm out in the stand as well, bow hunting. But anything from hunting and fishing to kayaking and hiking, I love it all.
And I love that you're so enthusiastic about it. So if people are interested in finding out more about opportunities or just the rules of the road when it comes, rules of the game when it comes to hunting and fishing and all the other things that we do in Wisconsin outdoors, how can they find out more information?
Sure. If they visit our website at DNR@wisconsin.gov, and you can either type in the search bar volunteer for those that would be interested in any volunteer opportunities. But then we also have a hunting tab, and that'll have all of our hunting regulations for the fall. And thing to note is our deer management units have changed in the northern and central forest zones this year. So another great thing to do would be to get out on our deer hunting webpage and look at the resources we have to make sure that you know which DMU you are in this year.
Yeah, and having spent a lot of time on the DNR website lately, it's a great resource for all things outdoors in the state of Wisconsin. Brooke Van Handel, Assistant Deer and Elk Specialist, good luck in the woods, and thanks for spending some time on WTMJ Outdoors.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, lots more to come on today's episode of WTMJ Outdoors presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. All of that and more after this on 620. WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Love talking about the outdoors. Now, it's a big, big world out there. And I always want to tell people that when I do the outdoor show, it's not just about hunting and fishing. It's about the celebration of the outdoors. And that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And as I've been doing my homework and my research for the show, you find organizations that I think do really, really good work. And one of those organizations that I found is the Milwaukee Audubon Society. And joining me from the Milwaukee Audubon Society is Maggie Spott, a member of their board. And welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, Maggie.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the basics, because a lot of people know the name, but they may not know the organization. Tell us about the Milwaukee Audubon Society, what you do.
Sure, yeah. So we're the Milwaukee Audubon Society. We serve to protect and restore Wisconsin's natural heritage and ecology through active leadership, education, advocacy, and stewardship. So we're actually a local chapter of the National Audubon Society. So all throughout Wisconsin, you can find different chapters. You can find different chapters near you if you go on their website. And we're the one based in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area.
Let's baseline for people. So on an average month or an average year, what kind of activities are you up to with the Milwaukee Audubon Society?
Yeah, so we own and maintain various properties. So our work actually extends beyond Milwaukee. We work in the Milwaukee area, but certainly outside that area as well. So we have a few different properties that we're actively restoring right now. We have a property out by Horicon Marsh. We have another property up in West Bend near Lizard Bound Park. So part of our work is in doing the boots on the ground work to restore those properties, prairie seeding. We've got volunteers on the ground. We do research, and we've got a lot of different members who are involved in a lot of different aspects of what goes into restoration.
So when you say restoration or restore, I'm assuming you mean how it would have been before, let's say, we sort of developed in and around our natural outdoor areas. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes. So we actually, on the property that I have spent a lot of time on, we purchased this property. It was an agricultural field, a farm field, and we actually actively seeded it. So we seeded it with prairie plants. So we've created now this beautiful prairie habitat, and we're also working on woodland restoration as well, so creating a savanna landscape at that property as well.
Describe the savanna landscape in the wooded area. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so on this property that I'm mentioning here, it's called Buffalo Speaks Reserve, and so this part of the property where it is woodland, it was also many years back an agricultural field. I'm not sure the exact number of years, maybe 50 years or so. And it's all now kind of filled in with trees. And so we're actually part of restoration. It might surprise some people, but sometimes that means taking out trees. And so we're preserving the bur oaks in this section of the woodland. And we're removing a lot of the other trees that have filled in to create a savanna landscape. So you'll have a lot of kind of open space with a few trees mixed in.
So you mentioned restoration, but I know one of the plagues of the natural environment, including in neighborhoods around Wisconsin and beyond, is invasive species. How big of a problem is that for the Audubon Society when you're trying to restore an area where you have things that weren't there before that have sort of been introduced into that environment?
Oh yeah, that's a big thing that we're working with at all times. It's a never-ending battle. Some of these projects, you're starting kind of from the ground up. Like when you're seeding an agricultural field and creating a prairie, you're gonna got a lot of weeds in there. So you're seeing like wild parsnip, you're seeing different types of clovers, and so we do get our volunteer groups out there and we have them out there. You can manage them different ways. You can either hand pull, you can treat with herbicides, or you can even burn the weeds as well. So different ways to manage them.
What's the biggest, if you know, the biggest invasive species problem that we have in the state of Wisconsin?
So I actually work in, I work as an ecological restoration technician as my full-time job. And so we see, it depends on the area that you are. In the Milwaukee area specifically, you see a lot of people that struggle with buckthorn.
Oh, yeah.
It's there. You've got two types. You've got common buckthorn and glossy buckthorn. Glossy buckthorn prefers wetter areas. Common buckthorn you'll see kind of in a lot of people's backyards taking over. But it invades our natural areas as well. It invades our parks, our natural spaces. And so that's a lot of the work I do at my job is we actually go in and remove a lot of that. And a lot of that is done in the wintertime. So that's our busy season coming up is buckthorn season. But certainly you've got a lot of herbaceous weeds out there as well. You've got different grasses. Reed canary grass is a big problem in some of our prairie areas. And, you know, there's lots of different invasives, but depends on kind of the type of area you're working in.
As you mentioned grasses, so as sort of a amateur landscaper, I've noticed that a lot of people have started introducing wild grasses into sort of their home landscaping. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, do you think?
Well, there are beautiful native prairie grasses. Unfortunately, we have lost many of those, and they've been replaced with a lot of non-native grasses. The biggest one that comes to mind is that reed canary grass I mentioned. It can fill acres and acres of property. Just you'll get 2-3 acres of it where it's just solid reed canary grass and nothing else. You really have to try and fight to protect your native grasses. There are other non-native grasses as well, but that's kind of the big one that we work with. It's hard to tackle as well because it spreads by rhizomes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could pull one up, but it just has a network underground that's really difficult to get rid of. So really we do fight that with herbicide, or you can tarp it off as well. You can put black plastic over it. But some are easier to handle than others, and that's one of the tougher ones.
Maggie Spott joining us from the Milwaukee Audubon Society. I want to give you a couple chances, including one in the next segment. But if folks want to find out more about your great organization or how they can donate or how they can volunteer, how do folks find you?
So MilwaukeeAudubon.org is our website. So spell it out, MilwaukeeAudubon.org. You can also email us at info@MilwaukeeAudubon.org.
All right, Maggie's going to stick around for another segment of WTMJ Outdoors. We'll do that after this. Thanks to the folks at Outdoor Living Unlimited who make it all possible. Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Great guests today on the program, including Maggie Spott. She's a board member of the Milwaukee Audubon Society. All right, I'm always interested, Maggie, in the individual stories. You have a great organization sort of advancing the restoration of our prairie and our savannas in the state of Wisconsin and our woodlands. How did you get involved? What's your story?
That is a great question. So it's funny. I actually didn't go to school for this. I actually was an art major when I went to college.
That's a leap.
It is a leap. But in college, I went to the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. We were required to take 35 service hours at, a volunteer organization of our choice. And I volunteered at Schlitz Audubon Nature Center, which is separate from us, Milwaukee Audubon. But so they're a nature center based in the Milwaukee area. And that's where I first learned about buckthorn. And invasive species, I didn't know invasive species were a thing. You know, I always thought if it's green, it's good. You know, you go outside and you see green, it's good. And that was kind of how I was first introduced to, there's invasive species that are preventing some of our natural habitats from really, you know, being their full potential. And I got really into plants, you know. As a young kid, I loved watching birds at the bird feeder. And then in college, all of a sudden I'm learning about all, you know, native plants, invasive plants, and it really got me into the field. And so, after I graduated, I actually ended up, working in, the environmental field. And so, I work full time now, as a restoration technician, but then I also volunteer, on my time off to do the same type of work. I'm just, you know, I can't get enough of it.
That is an I said before, it's an interesting leap going from art design and that sort of institutional background to sort of, you know, getting yourself directly matched to the outdoors and sort of trying to advance an idea that we can progress by moving backwards to how we things used to look. And you know, in this age of development, hyper development in some cases, it's encouraging to me, Maggie, that we see a sort of a initiative and efforts to sort of restore and replace some of the things that maybe we've done to our environment with some of the things that worked so well for so long in the state of Wisconsin. That's sort of a bright spot for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. And not only are, you know, our native wildlife dependent on those ecosystems, but I think the people are dependent on them, too. You know, that's one thing I love about Milwaukee is we do have so much green space. You know, we've got access to Lake Michigan. We've got our beautiful river system. And I think that's really something that's beautiful about Milwaukee. And it's important to keep those places accessible and to protect them for the future.
Maggie Spott from the Milwaukee Audubon Society. I'm giving a chance to promote any events you have upcoming for your great organization or if folks just want to donate or volunteer. So let's go with events. Anything coming up on the calendar that you want to promote?
Yeah, so usually in the fall we do prairie seed collecting. So we actually go out and collect prairie seed to later disperse it to create more prairies. And so I don't have any dates I can tell you right now, but if you follow our page on Facebook, Milwaukee Audubon Society, you can also find us online, milwaukeeaudubon.org. And there's links to our Facebook there. There's links how to email us to become involved. But the property that we're working on right now, Buffalo Speaks Reserve, it's out in by Horicon Marsh, so in the Horicon area. So we'd love if people are out that way and they want to stop in. Feel free to reach out. And we've actually got a burn coming up this Thursday. So that'll be really cool to see how the prairie looks after that burn. But some of it will not be burned, so we can still gather seeds for the future.
I love it. Milwaukee Audubon Society. I love this mission statement. Our mission is to protect and restore Wisconsin's natural heritage and ecology through active leadership, education, advocacy, and stewardship. And they are doing that every day of the year. Maggie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Country roads,
take me home. Thanks again for listening to WTMJ Outdoors. People always ask me, Steve, why do you love doing this show? It's so different than the other show that you do, which is politics. And if you haven't caught that, it's Point Taken, which airs 10 to noon every weekday on WTMJ. And I do a lot of podcasts as well. But I've always been passionate about the Wisconsin outdoors. There's so much to appreciate. And as I told one of the guests on today's program, and we'll run through the guests that we had on the program today in a little bit, it's a celebration of all things outdoors. And my definition may not be your definition, because a lot of people, it's hunting and fishing, right? The big ones, maybe it's some of the outdoor sports, the snowmobiling, the skiing. But for me, it's the celebration of anything that touches the outdoors. And I've had guests on from a lot of different organizations who celebrate conservation and, you know, honor the traditions of the state of Wisconsin. So for me, that's part of the story. And I want you to understand, when we do this show every Saturday on WTMJ, it's a participatory sport. You can be suggesting guests. You can offer feedback and comments. Easiest way to do that, just email me at steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. That's two F's, one D in Scafidi. So steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. Easiest way to do that. You can find my email on the WTMJ website as well if you want to, if you choose another way to do it. My phone number's there as well. But this is a celebration of all things outdoors. And for me, that means resorts and beyond hunting and fishing and all the great things we do in the state of Wisconsin. So every week on Saturday, we're going to celebrate those stories, talk to those people who touched those stories, shape those stories, and influence the way we spend our time outdoors in the state of Wisconsin. I want to thank our guests today, Lynn Ketterhagen. Our newest partner is Lake Lawn Resort, beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin. I have been going to that resort for more than 30 years, and I was out there a couple times late summer this year, one for a golf event, WTMJ Classic, another one to have lunch at their great restaurant, 1878 on the Lake, which if you're in that area, or even if you're not, check it out. Delicious, amazing food in their restaurant. Fantastic. But they're open year-round. It's not just a summer thing. It's not just a golf resort. It's the reason why they're one of the top resort destinations in the state of Wisconsin. They offer everything. From winter, summer, it's on the beautiful Lake Delavan there, and you can see that as you golf or as you approach the resort. The landscaping is fantastic. The people are friendly. The rooms and the restaurant and all their facilities have been updated many times, but very recently it looks fantastic. That's a reason to go there. So Lynn joined us to kind of set the table for the winter activities at Lake Lawn Resort. So if you haven't had a chance, check them out in beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin. But I also acknowledge on WTMJ Outdoors that we do talk about hunting and fishing, and we had to have a representative from the state's Wisconsin's DNR. Brooke Van Handel joined us. She's the assistant deer and elk specialist for the state of Wisconsin DNR. And we talked about archery deer season, crossbow as well. Big numbers, always growing, which is sort of an interesting trend in Wisconsin when it comes to the bow season, which is underway in the great state of Wisconsin. And she basically said, yeah, the sport is growing. It's not approaching anywhere near the numbers for gun deer season, which starts, as you know, the weekend before Thanksgiving in Wisconsin and in other times across the country for white-tailed deer. But she was great and gave us an updated sort of numbers on where we're at. I think 20,000 was the number she said. A little bit lower harvest numbers than 2024. She attributed that to a couple things, one being, of course, when it's warm out, and we've had some warmer trends when it comes to weather in Wisconsin, we see less hunters. And I even threw in the thing about bugs. When it's super warm, the bugs are still active. Not the best experience for hunters sitting in a deer stand when it's 70 degrees outside and there's bugs swarming them. So that might be part of the story. So thanks to Brooke Van Handel, who joined us from the Wisconsin DNR. And we wrapped it up with a great, fascinating conversation with Maggie Spott. She's a board member for the Milwaukee Audubon Society. Their mission statement is amazing. I talked about it on the interview. They've been around since 1897, and they restore some of the prairie lands in the state of Wisconsin, the woodlands, the savannas, to how they looked hundreds of years ago. So if you appreciated sort of the natural look of our state and how we sort of represented the best of the outdoors when it came to the Midwest in a beautiful country like ours, there. Organization actively works to restore and refresh those environments. So it was great talking to Maggie from the Milwaukee Audubon Society. Within the interviews, all of our contacts, their contacts were there. So if you want to help them out, any or all of the organizations always available for you. As always, thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors. Thanks to the great folks at Lake Lawn Resort and, of course, Outdoor Living Unlimited, who will make this all possible. We'll do it again next Saturday. Thanks for joining us on WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.